this is Dylan Johnstone, and this is my chapter of As the Story Grows.
The next chapter of As the Story Grows. I'm Brian Patton. This week's a short conversation with Dylan Johnstone, formerly of the bands Means and Continuance. Dylan talks about his personal musical history, including Means, Saints Never Surrender, and Continuance, and we dive into the differences between the Canadian and American hardcore slash Christian music markets. So it's a fun conversation. So I hope you guys enjoy this week's conversation with Dylan.
Yeah, I just had a short day at work and went for a run and just barely above freezing temperature that it is up here.
Barely above freezing?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not jealous of that, but I wish it were cooler down here in Philly. So, but barely above freezing, that sounds extreme.
Yeah, it's just getting into fall for us, so. Still can run outside in shorts.
you're running in shorts and barely above freezing temperatures?
Yeah, that's
crazy. I guess that's a whole thing you're used to up in that region of Canada where you're just used to it being colder than everywhere else.
Yeah, like our winters get down to minus 20, minus 40 sometimes.
Oh, man. What was that like the first time you toured the States and it was like 100 degrees in Florida or something like?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I have family in Arizona, so all my life growing up, we would take road trips down in the summer and hang out in Arizona. So I was kind of used to that heat. But
is that like a culture shock, that heat, or is it just like, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it gets hot in here in the summer, so we kind of have a wide range, like plus 40, which is like 100 Fahrenheit in the summer and humid, and then down to like minus 40 in the winter, so.
Man, that's crazy. What's the hardcore scene like there in Canada? In Saskatchewan, I guess. That's where you grew up, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's interesting up here. Like, it's so small. Like, our entire province only has like a million people. And we have like two bigger cities that only have like 250,000 people in each. And so the music scene was really kind of blended together, like underground music, hardcore, punk, metal, like pop punk and some popular bands and stuff too. Like, we all toured together and played shows together and everything. And
what got you into music?
What got me into music? I don't know. I remember my first CD I had, I think, was Oasis Wonderwall, and probably something by Our Lady Peace. But yeah, I don't know. I just always wanted to be in a band and that kind of thing. My parents forced me to take piano lessons and play clarinet when I was in junior high. So I definitely got into music that way.
What got you into hardcore?
So into hardcore music, I listened to punk when I was probably in, like, I don't know, grade grade 8 or 9, kind of when I went to high school and met some people that were into like AFI and Good Riddance and that kind of thing. And then there was a guy at church that showed me Stretch Armstrong and Living Sacrifice and these kind of bands, and something about that more like raw, aggressive kind of feel really appealed to me. And yeah, I just started listening to that kind of stuff, I guess.
You said you took clarinet. Were there any other instruments you played?
I pretended to play baritone saxophone for like a year. I switched over to that, and I don't think I actually played in the practices and recitals. I just kind of pretended that I was playing. But then I always wanted to play guitar, so made a deal with my parents that I could quit playing clarinet if I started playing guitar. So then I got into guitar lessons.
Did you start playing in bands after you learned to play guitar?
Yeah, I first started playing like in church, and then had some friends that played there, and we kind of put together some really bad bands, just anything to get us playing. And yeah, from there, just kind of met some other cousins and kind of went from there.
Do you have any band names from that time period? We're looking for terrible band names here, man. That's...
Oh, man. I don't know. I had a high school band called Statement of Service and one called Stronghold, but it was tough to find a name that wasn't taken. I can't imagine trying to start a band these days. I thought I was over it. Like I couldn't just pretend I didn't feel anything, anything real. What do I have left to live for if I can't deny? I'm torn in two directions. We have to live for what we are passionate about. We have to somehow bring the light, the death inside us all.
How'd you get hooked up with Means?
So when I was in high school, I used to put together shows a little bit in the small town that I lived in. It's only like 20,000 people or something, probably less than. And the guys in Means, they were like a punk band, sort of like post-punk, post-hardcore, whatever. And yeah, they played a couple shows, and the little hardcore band that I had back then played some shows with them around the province too. So I met them that way.
I guess you weren't the original vocalist then, right?
No, no.
Was that something you wanted to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, when I was in high school, like I had, this little band of people that didn't even really like hardcore music. I just were friends of mine that I forced to learn some songs that I wrote, and I was just a singer in that band. And then the guys in Means, their bass player was quitting, so they invited me to join them. So I picked up bass and played bass in Means and sang a bit for a year before we got a bass player.
That's cool. What was that transition like from bass player to vocalist?
It was good. Like, that's kind of, it was what I had wanted to do. It was great. I enjoyed it.
It felt like a natural progression.
Yeah, like, it was what I had been doing before, and kind of what the intention was, I guess. It just took us a while to find somebody that fit well.
You said you were, or you grew up, or... you know, learned about kind of the solid state, tooth and nail hardcore bands. What were the early days of Means like, either in Canada and trying to tour and find your footing as a hardcore band, and the scene there in Saskatchewan? I know there was a scene in Winnipeg with like Figure Four and Comeback Kid, and there's a whole scene in Winnipeg, but what was that like for you guys?
So in the early days, like, we just played every small town that you could imagine, and there were there were always like smaller bands, and like I said, the scene was kind of a mix of different genres a little bit, and you know, you couldn't really have like really specific kind of musical scenes because there just weren't enough people, so the scene just wouldn't exist if everybody didn't go to the shows and if you know, the bands weren't all playing together. So it was really a fun time of just playing with a variety of bands and playing small shows in small towns, and I don't know, it's just kind of what the prairies are like, I guess.
Yeah, were there little local labels up there that you guys had like EPs out with in the early days?
Yeah, there were a couple of small local labels. So we put a four-song EP out on a small label, and it actually got re-released after as a split with a death metal band from Quebec. So that was pretty fun. Yeah, so then from that, our manager at the time sent our little four-song EP off to Facedown Records, and they really liked it, so we were fortunate enough to get picked up by them.
That's cool. Was the scene kind of segregated up in Canada at that time? Like, was there a distinction between like a Christian scene and a mainstream scene or whatever? Was it just like the hardcore punk, whatever, like all the bands just played together regardless of messaging and beliefs and genre? Like, it was just a melting pot.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there wasn't even enough people to have like segregation musically, and so based on like Christian or not Christian or whatever, yeah, definitely it was just kind of everybody would play together, and like sometimes you'd have venues that were churches or like kind of church backed, like drop-in centers that would only allow like Christian bands or whatever to play, and so sometimes you had that sort of thing, or you'd like, I don't know, we would go play like youth groups and stuff, like youth group events where they, I don't even know how we wound up there, because like nobody even knew what like underground like punk hardcore music was. So just,
yeah,
super awkward shows where people didn't really know what they were getting when they invited us. But yeah, there wasn't a segregation like that, really. Everybody kind of played together, and it was just kind of like friends and family.
Yeah. Did it make it weird when you played the States and there was more segregation? Or what, I don't know if you guys felt that when you came to the States.
Yeah, I think we probably noticed it more. Like, we came down for the first time and played with some Facedown bands, making our way out to Facedown Fest, and there was a bit more of that kind of segregation, but you know, I think we started touring with bands that weren't like Christian or whatever pretty soon off. Like, we did a tour with Death Star and Amir, and yeah, I think there was always a pretty good mix on all the tours that we did in the States too.
What made you want to be on Facedown Records, or was it just your manager sent the demo there?
No, that's definitely a label that we had asked them to pursue. And we were on a different label in Canada, Underground Operations. But yeah, so like in high school, I used to go home at lunch and watch the Facedown Fest DVD like every day. Mm-hmm. And I think when I was 16, I went to Cornerstone and saw like Disciple AD and Figure Four and Seven Star and stuff. And so Facedown was like, yeah, probably my favorite label, I guess, growing up in high school. And yeah, all those bands I really loved. And so it was kind of a dream come true to sign with them and go play Facedown Fest and the Facedown Night at Cornerstone and all that stuff.
keep me from seeking. It seems like there was a change in your vocal style from the first record to the second record. Was that out of necessity to preserve your vocals or something else? Or is it just the way it was recorded?
Yeah, so how to answer this question. So when I started playing with Means, like I said, I was a bass player, and there were probably like a quarter of the words that I had to sing on our first material than on when I transitioned to being a frontman. And so I used to sing, putting like every ounce of energy into every single syllable. And when I started singing more, I just couldn't really keep that up. And so I sort of changed the way that I sang. And so even before we recorded Sending You Strength, I wasn't really singing that way anymore. Yeah, so, but then when we got into the studio, I just kind of had a hard time kind of getting the same energy that I would have at a live show. And so I sort of just reverted back to the old way that I used to do it, just putting like every single, like just full intensity, every single syllable, which wasn't really, like, I didn't really like doing it that way. I didn't really like the way that that sounded either. And so, yeah, what I was kind of going for was more of like Life in Your Way, Disciple AD, Figure Four kind of sound, I guess. And then when we went to record Sinking, I had a cold like leading up to the studio there, and I was really hoping it'd go away, but didn't. And we were just kind of on a schedule with that album, and we didn't have a lot of time in the studio, so just kind of tracked it and went with it, and yeah, didn't really turn out exactly how I wanted, but and that's just the way it was.
Yeah. We'll let you guys to breaking up then.
So we had one of the founding members had decided that he just couldn't continue to tour, just with family stuff. They're expecting their first child, and yeah, the rest of us kind of, you know, just decided not to continue on without him, and just kind of go out and on a high note, and before touring full time, kind of degraded our relationships and stuff, as can happen sometimes. So yeah, I don't know. I think it was just kind of felt like a good place to end it. Yeah.
You guys just released a bunch of t-shirt designs and I think a hoodie design. Is that just like demand where fans just want more merchandise, or it doesn't seem like you guys have any interest in touring or recording? You just...
No. Yeah, that's just kind of a nostalgic thing. Our drummer, Aaron, is still, like, involved in the music scene and stuff, and is really, like, great at keeping in touch with fans and responding to people. And so he'll, every now and then, he'll get people asking him about old merch and trying to track down old shirts and CDs and stuff like that, and so he just decided to put together some new designs and put them out there for anybody that wants to relive the past in that way, I guess.
That's fun. They're cool designs. I love them. I wish I had like just disposable income to buy a t-shirt because I love them. After Means, you did a stint with States Never Surrender, just as their live vocalist, right?
Yeah, that's right.
How'd you get hooked up with those guys? Because Indiana is a long way from Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 40 hours by bus.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't remember where we played with them first. Probably ran into them at Cornerstone or something. And then I think we played some shows with them on the Life in Your White tour, maybe. But then, they were some really fun kids to hang out with, and loved their music a lot. And so, we must have done a tour with them at some point, I guess. I don't totally remember. And then when I found out that Means had, that we were going to break up and we didn't really have anything on the schedule for a couple months, I just reached out to them and let them know that I'd be down to come fill in. I knew that their vocalist, Tony, had quit. So, then they got me on a tour right away. So did that. And then after Means, wound up kind of moving down there a little bit and hanging out with those kids for a couple more years.
But then, I mean, I guess essentially, Saints Never Surrender with you became Continuance, roughly.
Yeah, that's right. The intention was to kind of move down there and join that band. We just kind of wound up changing the name and going from there.
Was that why you released that record? You didn't put it on a Blend Ink. That record came out on Rise Records. So how did you guys end up on Rise?
I think they had been chatting with Rise before I moved down there. So that connection was already there. And then so we changed the name and just kind of moved over to Rise Records. The owner there really liked the stuff that we were writing, and so I was happy to put out the record, which I'm really thankful for. So
I know there was a big thing. I was looking today. There was like a Noise Creep article back in the day about 2010 about Continuance and like not being a Christian band. What was it like kind of walking that line between the scenes of like trying to make your mark as just a hardcore band versus like your work in the Christian scene?
It wasn't that weird to me, really. Like, coming from prairies and Canada, like the scenes were so mixed, kind of like we were talking about. And, we always just toured with whoever and made friends with people and just kind of toured with our friends. And, the scenes were never super segregated like that to me. And, I don't know. It wasn't super weird to me. And Means was never a band that was super preachy or anything like that. And I didn't really see it as being too weird or too difficult or anything.
Yeah, you personally never felt the weirdness of the American market wanting to define something as like a Christian genre thing.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Like, you just sort of like, I don't know. When I was in high school and like, I kind of went through a phase where I only listened to Christian bands or whatever. And then you find out that these bands that were, supposed to be Christian or whatever, like weren't really, or some of them were, some of them weren't. It's just sort of a weird thing to try to define like bands in that way. Like I get bands that are, where they're like preaching and that's like their kind of mission statement is to be like a Christian or whatever. But then you have all these bands that are just kind of aren't really that. And that was kind of means too. Like we weren't really like that. And so, I guess it is sort of weird in that way. Like you don't know the people personally. You don't really know like where they're coming from or what their motivations are, but you sort of just assume that they are something that maybe they aren't really.
Right. It's like means like not that you guys are, but like your lyrical content could have always been in that like just like posy straight edge scene as opposed to the Christian scene. Like it could have blended both worlds.
Yeah.
The thing that always trips you up is like Coalesce almost signed with Solid State. It's like, you know, if you grew up listening to Christian music, you would not have been allowed to listen to Give Them Rope, but had Give Them Rope been on Solid State, it would have been okay. And it's a whole weird thing. And like, you know, their lead singer still claims Christianity. So it's a whole weird thing how the scenes get muddled. So, and it's interesting because you're from Canada and I don't, you know, having been in both scenes, like you don't have that, like, I don't know how the church is in Canada with like, especially with music, that divide and the sacred and the secular.
But I mean, I definitely appreciate Solid State and Tooth and Nail and, you know, Face Down's influence on my own life and, you know, all those bands that I did listen to. Definitely appreciate. It's just can be a strange thing at times for sure.
Yeah. What led to continuing to breaking up?
Yeah, we sort of had kind of a variety of people throughout the life of that band. So I guess after a while, just kind of grinding it out on the road for so long, people wanted to pursue other things. And some of the founding kind of guys that were really involved in songwriting and stuff like that decided to pursue other things. And so we just kind of decided not to continue on with that.
Yeah. And it doesn't look like you've done anything involved with hardcore since then, yeah?
No, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, is that the end of your musical career?
I guess so.
What have you been up to since then? That was, I mean, nine years ago.
Yeah. I went back to school. I got an environmental engineering degree, and so I'm working as an engineer now, and just kind of doing music in church and doing some art and stuff as a hobby. Yeah, thanks for your interest. It's really an honor that people ever liked anything that we did and still showing interest. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to As the Story Grows. Our theme song was written and composed by the legendary Bob Nana. If you like what you hear, subscribe on iTunes and give the show a rating and review. If you'd like to support the show financially, click on the Patreon link at asthestorygrows.com. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media with your friends. Much appreciated, and thanks for listening.